What's going on? Hey!
Wait, I remember you guys.
I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Mr. Homeschool, Jimmy.
Summer vacation.
I'm actually at my homeschool home right now. Where it all started.
This is where you would have been homeschooled.
This is where I get PTSD from being at school all day growing up.
Yeah. Mommy, am I going to homeschool again today? No, Jimmy, you're just here to visit.
It's the summer.
Right. Come on, Mom.
What's good, homies?
I don't know if I missed you guys more or, you know, our viewers
hanging out.
I'm so tired of I'm so glad to not be talking Patriots. No offense to the Patriots people, but
imagine.
Oh my God. Hey, the offense wasn't good today. The offense wasn't good today.
Hey, that's what we said about the Celtics for like half the season. So maybe the past will
we did a year and a half of shows like that. We did.
There's only so much you can do though with just guys playing catch, you know, like you just run out of gas.
You got to have tomorrow's game. Tomorrow's game will help you guys out. It'll give you some
content. You need a game.
Well, guess what?
They hate
me. Our viewers are going to love today's topic.
That I can see.
Have for the last month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. We're happy to see you guys, too. Shout out. So, anyway, we're going to do a show because that's what we do. We do shows. We also have a bit of news. But first, we want to tell you again about – first, we want to tell you about our sponsor, Athletic Greens. A one-stop shopping daily supplement that gives you literally everything you need so you don't have to do, you know, take a million different things and powders and blah, 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 and vitamin supplements, all of that. It's all in one. Athleticgreens.com/garden. You get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Plus, if you send me a receipt, we will send you a Garden Report t-shirt. Those are being manufactured and printed. Yep, as we speak. And I will send you a free t-shirt.
I don't even have a t-shirt yet.
Bobby, we got to walk before we run, okay?
Yeah, let's just get one in the book before we start coining them all, before we get Bobby's personal
What about my phrases?
Shout-outs.
Easy.
Can I get a t-shirt? Jeez.
Me. That's what I'm here. What are we doing? Talking about Kevin Durant? All I hear is me.
Yeah. So,
That's foreshadowing right there, Shiraz.
The Durant stuff blew up this week, and we were going to do a show Monday, and we ended up not. And the first thing that happened was the first domino was like, okay, I want out, and I hate everybody. And, you know, that was it. He wanted people fired. Steve Nash, like Sean Marks. It's them or me. And Joseph Tsai, the owner, came out later in the day, and he was like, yeah, it's them. So – okay, gauntlet thrown down or Durant's bluff called, whatever you want to say. But then, you know, things are kind of quiet. And then today some stuff leaking out and the report being that the Celtics are a preferred destination along with the 76ers. So now the plot really thickens. Now, Mr. Bobby Manning, who's been totally gung-ho, yay, I want Kevin Durant, started to backpedal. I'm not saying you backtracked and flip-flop. This gave you pause, Bobby. Why? Obviously, I understand why, but like you were the most gung-ho for doing this, and now you've kind of walked it back because you're like, all right, this guy, I don't know.
Bobby's walking it back
on CLNSmedia.com. Check out his column, but Bobby isn't as bullish on getting Durant as he was before.
I mean, the ask here is absurd from Durant. It is incomprehensible that he would ask for this as a condition for staying. Now, is this the James Harden approach? I know he was hanging with James Harden within the last week here. Did Harden give him some tips on accelerating this process? Because this would certainly be out of that playbook. The notion that he would go to this meeting, which was, first of all, kind of coined as a point where they could all reconcile and come back and run this nicely, which is never going to happen. He goes to this meeting and tells them to fire the coach that he wanted and the GM who has followed his and Kyrie's every whim each step of the way through Brooklyn. If you've been in the weeds of this Nets thing since day one, I really have, because this whole 3-year run they've had has just been fascinating. All the dysfunction, all the terrible decisions that they've made. These two guys, Nash and Marks, have been doing their bidding since day one here. And now the condition to stay is fire these guys. And it's a total deflection. It's something I think you guys and others in the chat were concerned about, that this guy has no leadership skills. He is completely deflecting everything that's gone wrong over 3 years on the coach and on the GM and on the team. And for this to be the reason, apparently, that he wants out, and it's becoming more and more clear, I think, that this is the reason he wants out of Brooklyn, is because things haven't gone the way he wanted them to, and he doesn't think he has any role in that. I have pause, because instant something goes wrong in Boston, this is going to be the approach. And clearly, the leadership's lacking that he would be bringing to the table here in Boston. So it gives me an enormous amount of pause. I've been focused on the on-court pros, and there's many of them, and there's still a strong case that if you do this with the right return going out, it's worth looking into. But that definitely gave me pause. I mean, are you kidding me? Fire Nash and Marks, or I'm out? Talk about putting the team in an impossible position. I mean, this is terrible what he did. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I can. I absolutely can believe it. I mean, think about it. This is a guy that had as close to basketball utopia as you could have when he was in Golden State. Not only did he play for the best team, he was the best player on the best team. He was the NBA Finals MVP twice. And he then decides, I think I'm going to go to Brooklyn and play with Kyrie. Okay. No, I want to go to Brooklyn and play with Kyrie and James Harden. Okay. That doesn't work out. And so what does he do? He wants to be on the move again. And if he stays, you have to change what's around him, because that's just – look, the leadership questions that Bobby raised earlier are legit. I mean, his leadership is absolutely questionable when you look at the fact that he hasn't shown a willingness to gut it out when things get a little rough and the waters are a little choppy. When the waters are rough and choppy, he's ready to flip around and head back to shore, find a new – sure, to set up shopping. And that's not leadership. And again, I love Kevin Durant as a player, one of the best that we'll ever see in our lifetime. But he's showing his true colors as a leader. And that's just not who he is.
Yeah, I just think Kevin Durant, he's just not happy. He's just not a happy guy, man. Instead of working on you, you're trying to change everybody else around you, man, going from town to town, changing your teammates, changing your coaching staff, man. How about looking inside you, figuring out what it is that's going to make you happy, and working on yourself? And then, you know what? You might be that leader. You might be that take on that next step that would, honestly, and there's not many levels left to Kevin Durant, but if you want to talk about what's left for him to do, it is being a leader. It is taking responsibility, taking ownership, instead of saying, oh, you know, it's either me or everybody else, or it's the coaching staff, or it's the GM, or it's teammate X, you know, whoever it is. I just feel like that's the one thing Kevin Durant, and that's why everyone would have pause on trading for Kevin Durant or giving up a lot for Kevin Durant. It's not because he can't play, although he is getting up there, and that's John's main concern. It's that
both, you don't know. It was this too.
Yeah. It's just that you don't know the mental side of Kevin Durant. What Kevin Durant is going to show up? Is it going to be the one that wants to play and is happy and wants to give it all? Or is it the one that's going to just get sour on the organization and force his way out? Because if you're acquiring Kevin Durant, you're giving up now a huge part of your future.
Well, so that's
I have less pause about that now because of the fact that, as we read today, this does appear to be a preferred destination for him, which I started reading into with the whole Shams report. I mean, it feels like, because that Shams report, right, seemed to be from the Durant camp angle. They're seeing Boston as a jumping point. Now, is that one jumping point to get to the next spot after that? That's possible, but at least for next year,
was Golden State a preferred destination? Yes, and he wanted to leave. He chose it, and then he wanted to leave because Draymond was mean to him. Was Brooklyn a preferred destination? Yes. Yep. And what happened there? They literally did everything he wanted. They fired a coach of the year candidate type of coach and then brought in a puppet that they wouldn't really have to answer to. So they got a guy.
Kyrie?
They got a guy.
They're all coaches.
We don't even need a coach. They got a guy who would let them be them. They got Kyrie. They went ahead and they traded for Harden. They signed his boy DeAndre, even though he literally couldn't play in the friggin' G League at that point in his career. They did literally everything that Durant asked them to do. And then he's like, this isn't working. You guys should be fired. No, man. Look, if you want to be a player and play GM, then take responsibility. if you're going to run the organization and they're going to, you're going to hold a gun to their head. It's LeBron does it too. I want Westbrook. This isn't working out a month later. Then stop making suggestions. You're bad at this. You're bad at being a GM. Let the GMs handle personnel matters. That's what they get judged on. And they're going to get fired or they're going to retain their jobs based on the decisions they make. And you go play. That's why you have jobs. Everyone stays in their lane. You're not supposed to be a personnel guy. That's not your expertise. It's, I want to play with my buddy and this guy and this guy, and this is the type of coach. But players don't AAU's always
anymore, you know, like yeah, that's what it is now.
They don't always know what's best. So that stuff is, again, it's, you know, the only positive on it with Durant is I think he's gonna, I mean, he's out of bullets at this point. So like, what's he, I mean, is he gonna shoot himself out of his next destination? It seems less likely, but like, if you're a GM, are you going to bring in a guy who 2 years, who hasn't even started on a 4-year extension and is asking for everybody's head on the chopping block in that, in the previous organization? You think Brad and Ime are like, yeah, let's bring this guy over here and see if we can't get ourselves fired in 2 years. Like right. Everyone's got to feel that, right?
Well, they seem interested. So that's the other side of this. Like they've been in this mix for what, 5 weeks now? And we haven't gotten an inkling of we're not doing this. We're behind.
But you can't do that.
Why would you do that?
Nobody does that. Nobody says. No one's going to say that.
We don't want this once in a lifetime talented player.
Sure, they're not going to get him for Grant White, and so they could just put themselves out of them. Because if they're going to do this, it requires trading Brown. That's a prerequisite. There's no world. There's no amount of leverage they could generate that's going to allow them to.
But they don't. But as practice, they don't deny every rumor. They don't. As practice, they don't. It's just because it's a slippery slope. Because now the one time you don't deny one, they're going to be like,
"Yeah, but this is next level."
I'm saying you don't do that.
Like every
as practice, you don't go out and deny every rumor, because then you have to do it every time. Because if you don't do it, people are going to think that that one's real. Well, why didn't you do it this time? You denied it last time I was supposed to be traded. What they do is after the fact, they come out there and say, I was watching all of those reports and I was thinking, wow, where are people getting that? That's what they do. So the non-denial thing is not part of the story. I know people want it to be, but most teams don't come out flat out and say, we're not trading. Look at every other team that's been on the block. Have the Suns said explicitly, we're not trading this guy, or we're not trading this guy, or we're not trading this guy? Nobody does that.
Okay. Well, these teams are interested in Durant.
There's no benefit to say.
There's no benefit.
Because Bobby, I understand your point that it's going to take XYZ123 to get a deal done. But if you're the Celtics, so what? Let these rumors be out there. It's not going to hurt you in any way, shape, or form, especially if you're having conversations with Jalen behind the scenes, letting him know these are rumors. We don't know where they're coming from, but just ignore them. It's not a big deal. And if that's how they feel, as long as Jalen has that understanding, as long as they have that understanding, they don't give a damn about what you and I or people out here think. Because, if we're being honest and real, it's good for business for that stuff to be out there for the Celtics. It makes them look like they're an attractive place that great players want to be. Why would you cut that off, even if you know it's not real? Why? You wouldn't.
If you're in the position that you love this year, if you love this team and you want to stand pat and you want to run this back, I think there's a way to do it. It doesn't have to be explicit, but they seem to be in the mix still. They really do. How far will they extend themselves?
I think they're only in the mix because Kevin Durant's agent wants their name to be in the mix. I don't think the Celtics are like actively trying to look at their roster and figure out what can we do to get Kevin Durant.
That made sense from a Nets perspective, but the Nets are still out here saying we're going to take everything, which
that was my
be a non-starter for Boston.
But that's also a non-story. We're going to take everything. That's how trades work. You try to get as much as possible from the other side.
Was that the Nets are using this as a leverage point to generate interest. Now, this appears to be Durant paving a path to Boston. And if there's no path there, why would he be doing that?
Because the interest is where they thought it would be. And you're trying to drum that up.
You're trying to drum it up, and a lot of that stuff is coming from the Durant side because you want to make it seem like there's a destination. I believed from day one, when the first reports came out, that midnight, that 2 a.m. Woj report, and then the Shams the following day with Boston being seriously into it. All it was They have a conversation. What would it take? Well, it would take at least Jalen and blah, 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 blah. And the Celtics said, I don't know. We wouldn't do any more than Jalen and White. And that's about it. You know, like they're just, you're just kind of talking. You're not even in serious negotiations. I don't believe the Celtics went there, called them and said, here is my offer for Kevin Durant. I just think,
no, I think talking, the Nets are calling teams. Yep.
I think the Nets are calling teams and the Celtics are like, I don't know. Like, what would you pay for this? I don't know. I don't really want it, but I guess I'd give you this. Like, I'm not saying entirely they don't want it, but I don't think they were like, because, like, look, if anybody was friggin' gung-ho about Durant, this deal would be done right now. No teams right now are tripping over themselves thinking, I need this guy at all costs. Because whatever the cost out there right now is clearly prohibitive for everyone. So it's not even close. I know, like, we were talking about the Simmons unrealistic trade value that they had before. All of the factors, the age, him being, you know, him doing stuff like this and asking for people to get fired, having shot his way out of, you know, multiple different destinations. People are not going to mortgage. Winning teams are not mortgaging their entire future to go get a guy like Durant. They're not. If you're already there, if you're Phoenix, you're Boston, you're like a contender today, you're not going to give away half your team to go get one guy. You're not. All right, quick timeout just to tell you about our sponsor, our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first to the market odds and lines. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. So head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that code is CLNS50. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, to me, it's obvious that Durant's side is clearly the side that leaked him saying it's either me or, you know, Nash and basically the front office, right? So, I mean, and then you've got the Nets GM coming out saying we're back in Nash, all this stuff. I mean, they kind of have no choice now, right? I mean, doesn't Durant have to go? How can they all just, if they're back in the head coach, they're not going to fire, you know, Nash is apparently
safe. Now, isn't Bobby, that something?
Bobby, yeah. We talked about this before the season practically anywhere. Like, Nash is toast. Like, there's no way he's back. So I am surprised that they stuck with Nash out of the regular season.
I think Kevin forced him to stick with Nash. I mean,
yeah, that makes no sense. Like, why would he force him to stick with Nash and then flip like that?
There's a part of
he's
me that
he's flailing in the wind.
They don't want to feel like they caved in to Kevin's demands. I think there's a part of that ownership group that's looking at Steve Nash and thinking, this was probably not the best decision we could have made as far as a head coach. But damn it, we're not going to let this player tell us how to run the team that I own. Hell no.
I love that response.
Yeah.
No, I do too. But it's almost like, okay, if they're going back and forth now publicly, basically, they can't just come together. Like, I can't see Kevin Durant suiting up for the Nets at this point.
I would love to be there on the first day of training camp when Kevin walks into the room and Steve Nash sees him. What do you think is going through his mind?
They'll have a conversation, right?
It'll be like Van Gundy and Dwight Howard, that press conference.
Yeah, that was infamous.
Well,
when Van Gundy's like, yeah, this freaking guy called upstairs and tried to have me fired. He did. I know it. They told me. Okay, he's up. And he walks out and Dwight Howard walks in.
That was one of the most awkward moments in NBA history.
It was the best.
It was perfect.
Being caught in a lie. It was like watching the Alex Jones stuff, you know? Like,
the Nets will sign Howard next.
Freaking Dwight Howard's like, nah, man, I wouldn't do that. They're like, coach literally just said you did a minute ago. He was like.
Well, this shatters the notion.
That was the best.
This shatters the notion that Kevin's going to show up. He's all about basketball. These lines you kept hearing repeated about him. You could have given him the benefit of the doubt a week ago and said, all right, a lot of this meddling in the background was Kyrie, and he was pulling a lot of the strings here behind the scenes. For him to come out and do this, I think, shows that Durant was just as involved with a lot of this stuff over the years, and he'll continue to be. You know, and they've earned that right with their teams, but there's a point where it goes too far. There's a point where your preferences should be accountable for where the team is at. And I think a lot of them have been, most notably, most recently, his support of Kyrie through the whole debacle that lost them Harden, by all accounts. So that worries me as well, because we were kind of going back and forth on this, right? Is this in support of Irving? Is this get me away from Irving? It seems like he is going all in here behind Irving. He wants him to get this extension. He right. wants the team to commit to them, and he wants them to make them this partnership that we talked about after that series, that they were going to be running this franchise in partnership with Nash, Marks, and Zai. Marks comes out right after the season and says, we want people who are kind of committed to basketball here, who are committed to what we want to do in our plan. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they don't offer Irving that extension. And that's where what puts Durant where he is. And I love Zai taking that step, because what has Irving shown over the last couple of years to show reliable, to show that he's worth investing in and extending long term? A lot of Nets fans this week are like, oh, they're going to pick Nash over the two stars. That's not what this is about. This is about taking back some of the control from these two who have made so much mistakes. Yes.
It's about, this is poison. We cannot continue like this. I don't care how good at basketball these guys are. This is absolute poison. The entire situation, and that could involve the coach too, is not, he's not blameless in this, but
he's not, no.
You can't move forward with whatever's going on here. It's just so toxic at this point. And you're right, 1,000% in support of the Kyrie stuff. What are Durant's issues? Presumably with the offseason. The only thing that the Nets have done that he didn't order the code red on was put Kyrie in the corner. Bench him over the vaccine stuff, and then not renew him. And then Durant's like, that's it. Now you have a report coming out recently, and who knows with that. Durant was mad. He didn't want to get vaccinated, and he thought ownership should have really pushed hard for exemptions. Lobbied the mayor's office for that. It's like, guys, I just don't think your priority, like, I don't know what it is that you want to accomplish here, but like, if it's to win championships, I think they're just hung up on too much petty nonsense right now. And again, he's clearly in support, 100% in support of Kyrie. If they give Kyrie a long-term extension, this offseason, you think Durant's asking out?
No,
probably not.
Really?
No. And there's a Ben Simmons factor here too, that we really haven't heard anything on. Like, is he going to be good to go? Is he going to be on the floor this year? All that stuff. So that's another layer to this that we'll probably learn about eventually. But at this point, I don't think Durant's going to show up to camp. And that's going to accelerate this even more. And at that point, if you're the Celtics, is the possibility of a straight Brown Durant swap on the table, just because of the lack of flexibility other teams have, the desperation that sets in if you're Brooklyn? Because again, if you're getting out of this as Brooklyn with Brown, that's pretty good, I think. Brown, Simmons, it all these depends. Other pieces they put together.
It all depends. If Golden State were to step up with a Wiggins and a bunch of the kids.
Well, they can't do Wiggins with Simmons.
Oh, Wiggins is a rookie extension situation. Yeah. You're right. I mean, that's a complicated thing as long as Simmons is in the fold. The Simmons report, we'll get to it a little later, was freaking hilarious from earlier in the week, but that's not.
That was awesome.
That was Best absolute
left the chat.
Gold. Oh my! That's like what I do when Nick is bothering me. You know, like,
yeah. Right?
You know,
hey John, can you get me that report by tomorrow?
Okay, yeah, bye. TPS reports. I'm out of here. Real quick, we are going to continue a very interesting wrinkle to the Kevin Durant story involving what we think is the desired Nets haul from the Celtics versus what the Celtics want to give based on this report that came out about the Celtics being his preferred destination. We'll tell you about that in a minute, but first we want to tell you literally everything we can tell you about Athletic Greens, which is our sponsor here on the Garden AG. Report. And yeah, and we got it here.
AG1.
AG.
Oh, okay, you got the big package there.
Big pouch. I got all my stuff here. I got
you
it all.
Make okay. one for us?
Yeah. Huh?
No, I'm not going to make one. I had one this morning. You got
your little tub
you pour it into here. It's freaking great. So
that thing's great. Yeah.
No, you don't pour it. No, huh? You're doing it all wrong. You just pour it right into the shaker. No, huh? You just put it right into the shaker.
No, this is to store it.
So I just store mine in the pouch because the pouch
Yeah, I know. That's what they gave you this thing for, to store it.
I know, but, you know, it's like...
Canister.
Taking it out of one package to put it into another package, it's like, I mean, I'm just going to keep it in the original package. But all that anyway, to say, I'm using it every morning. It's great.
We all are. And that, we all are. And would I have done this if it wasn't our sponsor? No. Probably not. Am I glad I'm doing it now? 100%. I really am.
You look better.
I feel better. I'm not kidding. I feel great. I'm peppy, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like getting the gang back together again. But I think a lot of it has to do with Athletic Greens. You know, whatever. Like we said, it's 75 minerals all in one. It's one-stop shopping. You know, you feel like you don't have the time for all of that stuff, but you want more energy, optimize your immune system, better gut health. That's kind of what this is here for. I've been doing it for 2 weeks now. Jimmy, you are about the same?
Yeah, at least.
That's it.
And honestly, dude, you don't want to go to a supermarket and you end up in the vitamin aisle. And you're like, oh God, there's what like 1,000 vitamins. Like, I'm in for 20 minutes. And I don't know what I'm buying. Yeah. This just does it all for you. Yeah. One drink. It's actually tastes for a drink that people think might not be the best. It's pretty good. It's not that
bad.
Good.
I love it.
There's way worse. Like,
to this thing, they're through the roof.
Like, this isn't like beet juice. Okay, guys. Like, it's really not that bad. It's much better than that. Down beet the hatch.
Listen,
off on your way.
Beet Juice is next week's sponsor, so take it easy. But 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, probiotics, help you start your day right. Like I said, like Jimmy said, one scoop, boom, done. That's it. And you don't have to go to the supermarket and get 85,000 different supplements. So that's why we consume it.
Gut health, that's important. Just put it this way. Get your bowels right. It'll get your bowels right.
Yeah.
We'll get them back on schedule.
It's lifestyle friendly. That's another great thing. And it's whatever diet you're on, it doesn't matter. Keto, paleo, vegan, dairy free. This is not going to interrupt any of that stuff. It's only $3 a day when you look at it. Now imagine if you went out looking for stuff individually one at a time, how much more you would spend. Don't get sticker shock because you look at the one price. It's $3 a day and that's it. And you're done. $3 a day for better health. It's worth it.
For your health.
Athletic Green has over 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes. As Jimmy said, stars, all of that stuff. So important thing here is go to athleticgreens.com/garden and you will get a 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packets with your first purchase. So go check that out. We will also give you a free Garden Report t-shirt. If you send me a receipt, I will send that to you. And I know there's a couple people who've already done so and sent me that. We are sizing our shirts to make sure that we get you your right size so everyone doesn't get a double XL. So we will send those out to you, I promise. But please send me the receipt. You get a great deal. You get a Garden Report t-shirt. And most importantly, you get improved health.
A year's supply of vitamin D just for using our code is pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
They said vitamin D was like one of the most important vitamins during this whole COVID ordeal. Like, yeah. Keep taking your vitamin D. That's what who knows, but.
So we did promise we're going to talk about one wrinkle to the KD thing that I find interesting, and that's the Marcus Smart piece. And that's an interesting piece of information to float here. Part of this report is that Celtics are a desired landing spot, and one of the things that KD really wants to do is play with Marcus Smart, which is kind of a way to say, don't make sure Marcus isn't part of the trade package coming over here. And just to refresh people's memory, the reported initial trade was Celtics offered Brown, Derek White, and one pick, and the Nets countered with Brown, Smart, and all the picks, the Bobby Manning package, the Bobby Manning special, 7 picks, take them all.
Durant didn't say he wanted to play with Derek White.
Yeah. Yeah, Durant. Yeah, he didn't say, I can't wait to go over there and play with Derek White. He wants to play with Marcus Smart.
White's pretty good.
Interesting little nugget there that's kind of thrown in, would kind of.
How about that? I think a couple years ago, we never would have really thought that would have been.
Why? Why Marcus Smart? What's the thing? What's it? It's very simple
because he plays hard. He plays defense. He's going to make it easier for Kevin Durant on the other end of the court. And he's a
much
winner.
Better than the other
I say he's a winner. He's a gamer. The one thing I'll say about Marcus Smart is he leaves it all out there on the floor. And I think Kevin Durant typically, I think everyone would say Kevin Durant does too. So those two guys, I think, have a very similar mindset when they're out in the court. I'm not saying they have a similar mindset off the court. That's certainly not the case. Marcus Smart has never said boo about playing for the Celtics or had any qualms about it. And that's the opposite of Kevin Durant. But when those both guys are on the court, you know, they're you know, giving it everything they've got out there. So I think Kevin Durant definitely appreciates that about Marcus Smart. And he probably sees Marcus Smart as the leader of this team. Kevin Durant might not want to come here and have to take on that leadership role. He's got Marcus Smart that can take that on. Kevin Durant can just ball and be Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there, John? Oh, you got Legos going? What's going on?
That's my AG.
Okay. That's the year supply, right? Is that the year supply?
Is it messing with my audio at all?
No.
No.
No. Good. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether or not it's a leader, but whatever it is, I don't know if it's he wants to defer leadership necessarily.
But think of what you'd have left if you traded Smart.
Why not?
That's the reason I'm not for it is trading two starters and all of your future picks basically means, and again, this is why I've been against the Durant thing from the beginning, is it basically gives you a two-year window to win it all. And if you don't, then everything starts to go south. Durant probably starts to significantly decline in his age 36 season. And Tatum comes up, and if he sees things aren't looking great, you don't know what's going to happen there, and you've got no means to rebuild. So you could end up in a full rebuild in 2 years if you don't win it all. And we've seen how many teams have put their super team together. Yes, the Lakers did it with Anthony Davis, but a lot of times it's, let's get all our guys over here and go play, and it'll be awesome. And it hasn't really worked for people. So this whole, like, if you knew you could look in a crystal ball and say you're going to win a title, yes, maybe you make a deal. Anything short of that, I don't even know that you're better if you got Durant and got rid of Smart and Jaylen. I'm not even sure the on-court product is better. It's a coin flip at that point, is it not?
Yeah, I think that's part of
for
why.
For both those players. Because you don't have anything behind them. You're now starting Derek White as your everyday point. Oh, you're starting Brogdon.
White and Brogdon but you've got isn't White. Great.
It's not awesome. It's not great there. So, I don't know. I think you're. I think you might.
You don't know how many good games you're going to get out of Brogdon.
It's debatable, right? If you're better.
Definitely it's debatable. I mean, you're trading two of your starters for one. So, listen, as good as Durant is, you can't – I mean, we're talking about Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, and we're talking about Jaylen Brown, who has, you know, the capability of being an All-NBA, you know, let's call him a fringe All-Star, All-NBA type candidate. So, I mean, of course that's a debatable. And you've got Kevin Durant, who's on the other side of 30 now. And
Brogdon's always hurt.
Kind of waiting. Exactly. That's the other thing is you've got Brogdon who – listen, I love Brogdon, but you can't count on 75 games out of Brogdon. So – you kind of need Smart. You kind of need Smart in that sense. And like you said, Durant doesn't want to be traded to a situation where he wants to win, right? So that's why you hear Boston. That's why you hear Philly. I'm sure there's a couple teams out west that he would go to if it matched up that he would be willing to go to. We know Phoenix, apparently is out. And, you know, Golden State seems to be, you know, depending on the day, whether or not they're interested or not. So those are all, you know, a team that he goes to is going to be a contender. So you don't want to deplete your roster in order to get him.
Yeah, Sherrod. I wouldn't do Smart.
Sherrod's got thoughts.
Well, I mean, I agree with most of what you're saying, Jimmy. I mean, that's why so many teams are in this wait-and-see mode with him because they don't want to deplete their roster for a guy that has shown a real quick turnabout in terms of his loyalty and his commitment to the teams he's with. I mean, think about it. When he's in Oklahoma City – you know, there's a certain emotional drainage that you're going through when you lose the way they did. And what does he do not too long after that? He joins a team that just kicked his ass. That doesn't happen. That does not happen very often. And then he does everything that you want to do in the league as a player, have individual and team goals and accolades and all that stuff. And what does he decide to do? He decides to leave. Not because they didn't want him there. Yeah, not because they didn't want him there, not because he was having it. He just did not want to be there. And if you are putting a team together and you want to bring him in, you're going to have to give up significant assets. But you're hesitant to do that because of all the things I just laid out. You don't know how in he is with you. You don't know whether he's going to wake up one morning, look at the record, not be crazy about it, and decide, I want out. Mm-hmm. I want out. And then you're stuck, you're jammed because you gave away major assets and now the asset that was supposed to be a difference maker for you does not want to be a difference maker for you anymore.
Right.
That's what teams are so damn scared about. It's not about they're afraid to pull the trigger. They're afraid to pull the trigger on a guy that's going to flash them the deuce sign in another year or two.
Yeah. However, and this is where things get complicated if you're the Celtics, and this is totally why I understand Bobby's point of view. Initially, things get a little bit murkier here the more Durant kind of, you know, stuff like this comes out about fire this guy, fire that guy, and whatever. We'll give you a little bit of pause, but I totally understand Bobby's thinking, which is the Celtics are lacking that. We saw it in the playoffs, that kind of alpha to take over down the stretch, the killer, you know, sort of guy. I know it's recency bias, but certainly some questions came up about whether Tatum is that guy. Can he be the guy to carry you? And on top
easy,
of that,
John,
whatever.
We've kicked around a lot of off-court concerns.
We'll get
the
chat all in a tizzy.
But I know, but the other one is, does JB want to be here? All of those things, and will he continue to be here? And I know that's all part of it. And so that's where this conversation gets interesting, because it's possible that the Celtics need a guy like Durant. The Celtics might need to get off of Brown if they're worried that he's not going to come back. And this still might not be a great trade. You know, it can be bad for both sides. It can not be the perfect thing that you need. And that's kind of the worry here with this is, I understand why you might want to do it, but it also doesn't necessarily mean it's a good deal. And so I guess the question is, how much does that factor into your thinking? We talked about this when the first wave came around, but how concerned are you that Brown is now hearing whispers about, oh, I was better than Tatum in the finals, and he's got his new representation, and he's got 2 years to go, and, you know, he might want to be the alpha, and there's been stories that he wants to be the guy, you know, going to test free agency, see what's out there. Who knows if any of that stuff is real or not, but without any certainty, you're always going to have to wonder. The people in the chat and the fans out there, they're like, keep JB, he's younger. Sure. If you were guaranteed that Brown is returning, I wouldn't have thought about this trade in any form at any point in time. Never, ever, ever, ever. I'd ride with the younger guy into the future if you can.
Jaylen Brown's a max player for you?
Huh?
Jaylen Brown's a super max player for you?
It doesn't matter. It's the best you can do. That's the meaning, like, it doesn't matter, because you either do it or you lose them. So that's you get stuck in those situations. A ton of teams do. You get stuck with Ayton. You get stuck with all of these guys. Like, do I want to give them all of this money? But if you don't,
somebody
Bridges.
Will.
No, Brown,
you know,
is
right.
A max player.
But Brown probably.
Well, I was thinking about if.
In today's NBA, Brown probably is. He probably should have been an all-star, or could have been last year. I view him as a perennial all-star, even though he's only made one.
He's
a top 25 player. He's a max guy in today's league.
Yeah, but I was reading today, a couple people had the article, I know B-Rob wrote it, that if he ends up with like one of the All-NBA teams, I think it's like $50 million more that it triggers like a even higher amount that he would.
So yeah, it's $290 million if he's all NBA and those accolades. The regular number is $240 million, and then to leave would be $184 million, I believe. So it's a significant difference. Especially you're talking $100 million if he's all NBA difference.
But here's my thing, though. I mean, we talk about Jaylen. And maybe not wanting to be here, but I keep coming back to, what has he done that would indicate he doesn't want to be here? I mean, he goes out every single year, gets better, comes into camp, does what he's supposed to do, puts up good numbers, the team is successful. What exactly is he running away from? Is it because he wants to be the top dog? He has never said or played in any way that would lead you to believe that he doesn't want to be here.
We don't know if Boston's is a place, you know, is the right city for him, and a place that he wants to be here long term. And again, the NBA is a tricky place. The team that drafts you holds the strings for 7 years, and you may not have wanted really to be there entirely. It's fine, but it's not ideal. You might just want to test it. You might want to see what else is out there.
I still think at the end of the day with Jaylen, it's going to come down to winning. I mean, if this team is stuck in this get to the conference finals or second round and they can't get over the hump, then I think it becomes much more realistic that he may want to go elsewhere. But if they would have won a chip, you know, a couple months ago, I don't think we would be having a very different conversation, not only about him, but the team in general. Him specifically, at that point, it's just like, okay, you've literally won at the highest level you can possibly win as a team. Why would you exactly want to break that up, especially when you're freaking 25 years old? I mean, so a 25-year-old NBA champion in Boston is kind of scary. Own the city.
I think the three things we've found, you know, just talking to him over the years here, all right, he wants to win a lot of championships. He obviously wants to make an impact off the floor. And I think he wants his respect. He wants his appreciation. Now, what does that mean?
Like every player so far.
What does that mean? The appreciation factor, you know, being properly rated. You ask him questions, like he'll always be sure to prop himself up, and rightfully so. I just don't know where that comes from. Does it come from
everyone a place was of, turning it over, not just me, you know?
Yeah, does that come from a place of him not feeling great in his situation here? It's hard to say because he's never going to answer that question. He's never going to, you know, address that. So we're all left wondering. I don't think he'll even address it to the team until the time comes, right?
I think he thinks, and I think based off of some of the reporting and just people in the know and how they talk about it, that Jaylen, and he's not wrong, that Jaylen believes he's every bit as good as Tatum, if not a little better. And if Tatum is better, it's by a fraction. But everybody automatically just says, that's the alpha, and then this guy's number two. And he's like, am I really? You know, like, are we sure about that? You know, it's not a equal
and I support
parts sort
that
of thing.
And
I totally
that,
get it.
He should believe that. Yeah. And, what I don't support is whenever there's
prediction
a trade
before
rumor,
the season was Jaylen would pass him as the alpha. Cause I actually thought that was possible this past year. I thought it was possible based on his trajectory and the fact that Brown was improving more, in my opinion, than Tatum was year over year, to the point that he was close to his level. If he took another leap, I thought he could pass him. I still think it's possible. There's elements of Jaylen's game I don't like, but like if he comes out next year, if he comes out next year and he's just – if he's that guy – remember the guy at the beginning of 2 years ago who was shooting friggin' 55% from two and 45% from three and literally couldn't miss those first 20 games where he looked like he was a top 10 player in the NBA? That guy spends an entire season doing that here. The entire conversation changes.
No, but it's not going to happen here because his role has been established. And that was part of why the team won, because of the fact that Tatum took over as the primary ball handler. Brown took that like second bench, next wave approach, smart focused on facilitating. Everybody found their roles here. So does he love that role? He's certainly been able to be very successful in that role. Could he make an All-NBA in that role? That might be important because of the financial aspects of that. But what's pretty clear here, and what I think should make people feel good ultimately about keeping him, is that the Celtics can pay him a lot more money than the next team.
Is it, or is it just one more year? Right.
But that's the thing.
It's a lot more money.
No, it is a lot more money, but I think a lot of these players, and I read something about this maybe a year or so ago, was an article. Basically, agents are instructing their clients to take the money, sign the deal, and then we'll force our way. I'm not saying this is what Jaylen Brown's going to do, but just because he signs the contract with the Celtics doesn't mean that he wants to play, you know, fill that, you know, entire contract. It's a good business decision on his part to make the additional money that you can make, and then you can move around from there. I mean, it's a players' league. They do it all the time. We're talking about Kevin Durant right now, who wants to do that right now as well. He just signed a deal with Brooklyn. So just because a player signs a deal doesn't mean, oh, thank God, we've got him for the next 5 years now. Like, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. I'm not saying that's what Jaylen Brown wants, but I would also – like, that's John's concern, is that, you know, that you don't have him for those additional years. So do you – if you do have that impression, if Brad Stevens – has that vibe or knows something that none of us else don't know, then he might be more inclined to pick up the phone when Brooklyn calls or whoever the team might be. And again, I'm not accusing Jaylen Brown of this. I'm just
saying, don't think that's the reason you do the deal. That's always been secondary to me. Like, would it be nice if he's intending to leave and you could?
That's funny. That's my only reason to do the deal.
Yeah, like I think it's just too far. Do you think Brown really knows right now whether he wants to stay or leave? It's 2 years away.
I think Brown knows right now whether or not he's open to leaving. And that alone is enough.
Of course he's open to leaving.
Right. And so I know that we don't know, but I don't believe that he's like, yeah, man, I'm resigning here. Where else would I want to be? That's crazy. Like, that we got a great championship caliber team. And of course, why say
it's not like a Patrice Bergeron situation where he just signed a 1-year deal. He wants to finish his career.
Tuukka, same thing. Tuukka's like, I'm literally going to retire or be a Bruin. But again, they're advanced. They're late in their careers. They've established families here. They're happy here. It's a different situation with those guys. But yeah, you know, that was very well telegraphed.
But I mean, 10 years ago, you never got the vibe that Bergeron wanted to leave either. I'm just, no. It's a different sport. It's completely different. So.
Different sport.
Yeah, the money is bigger as a starting point. Right?
That's the point. Yeah. That's the point. There's way more variables in the NBA. So it's harder to get that impression that you're going to get a play. It's designed.
But this isn't a reason you would do this deal, right? You wouldn't look at this and just say,
I don't understand
crap,
why you'd be saying that.
It's the reason why you consider it.
It's a very big reason.
It's a factor, but the reason
it's a huge reason. If you thought Brown was staying here long term, your thinking would be totally different. If you knew it, if you're the Celtics and Brown was like, "Don't trade me, I'll resign here. I love it here." And
well, yeah,
you'd be
that's
like,
a,
oh
that's
yeah,
a factor.
What are we doing here? Yeah,
but the reason you would do it isn't to say, "Oh, we got to shake up the pieces here and move him out and get a comparable guy." Durant's levels and levels and levels and levels above Brown as a player right now. That's why you do it, to put yourself closer to winning a championship. Now, I've seen people disagree. Like, is the continuity, is the cohesion this team's built, the athleticism and youth on top of that? Like, I think that's a growing argument, is that, like, the best teams in the NBA right now are teams like the Celtics that can, you know, play big minutes, play pretty much every game, defend at level. These are things you might not be able to do with Durant in that spot. But skill-wise, I think Durant erases your offensive stagnancy, you know, levels up your playmaking, frees up Tatum because teams aren't able to key in on Tatum as much at that point anymore. Those are the reasons to do it, not because I'm afraid Brown's going to leave in a couple of years. In fact, I think there's a good chance you keep Brown if things stay stable and competitive here. So bringing yourself that much closer to a championship is the most important thing to me, because at this point, I think the Celtics are in the mix. They're there with the Bucks, they're there with the Warriors, but you're not a slam dunk. And I think that brings you a little bit closer to being a slam dunk, but there's a lot of other concerns here. I just think the basketball fits incredible bringing Durant into that spot if you're not giving much else.
You've now talked yourself back into it.
No, I'm very open. I'm very open to this idea because he's amazing.
Bobby's just going to be happy regardless. He's just a happy guy.
I'm
going to
be happy regardless, right? Because
Bobby
Manning's going to be very good.
Yeah,
Bobby can sell himself on either move. Like, everything's good.
Check out CLNS Media. Yeah, why my column from 2 days ago was wrong by Bobby Manning. I changed my mind.
Are any of you guys so sold on either direction that if the other happens, you're going to be upset or, you know, you're not going to like it? I think either's fine here.
Here's the thing. If it ends up being a deal on the Celtics' terms of, you know, White, which I'm happy to get off of that, happy to, White and Brown with a single pick for, if it was that deal, I wouldn't lose my mind, because at that point, I'll say, yeah, maybe they will be better as a result. I don't think they gave up so much that they've greatly hurt their future or their present. But if it's the bag, no, I would be very upset.
I think at this point we know it's not going to be the bag. And also,
no,
like,
because they don't
make a trade. Right. And if they do make that trade that you mentioned, John, or even if they do make that trade, let's say, it's still going to take some time before we can even really know for sure. Because if the Celtics do end up winning a championship out of it, even one, like, I think that's a deal that you're happy that you made, because as we know, it's extremely hard. It's been whatever it is, 12 years since the Celtics won. And, you know, obviously they went the rebuild stage, but they've been close more than a few times and they haven't been able to get over that hump. So if that was a deal that put them over the hump and they did bring home a championship, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that would still be like, they still shouldn't have made that trade. You know, Jaylen Brown's an all-star on the Nets or on whatever team he's on, you know? So I think what,
Jimmy,
If, the Celtics made that trade and we go on the show, breaking news show, we're all probably going to be some level of fired up for the trade because it's just going to be exciting. And John, you're muted.
Jimmy, bigger than Garnett.
Because I like the story. I always.
But that's it. I mean, yeah. but also it's still, you like the story because it gives you, like, you're probably jumping to the NBA favorites to win the championship too.
You,
like,
are now.
Sure. Okay, fine. But maybe you're even more so. Point being is Bobby's right. Like, there's no horrible outcome either way.
The fan, fan in me doesn't want to do the deal. The guy who, you know, who does this for a living is like, oh my God, this would be gold.
Sure.
And Kevin, you know,
I can't even imagine what that day would be like.
Oh my God. I honestly be afraid to do the Garden Report that Durant's just going to be lurking, you know, like the whole time, you know.
Well, that would be a constant experience, right? I hope he doesn't get the YouTube app.
Nick and Durant have to do a podcast together.
Well, that's the other thing. And that's why
they break bread.
Yeah.
I think so many people are against this trade too, is because Durant's not a fun player to cheer for.
No, I disagree.
That's the other reason.
He's not likable.
He is so much fun on the court, Jimmy.
But it's just the NBA, Bobby. They've made it more off the court than on the court at this point. It's not that I shouldn't say he's not fun to cheer. He's fun to watch. If you go to a game, you're like, wow, this dude is unbelievable.
Oh,
but like,
he is incredible.
As far as getting behind him as a player, it's hard to. And that's why there's so many people who are like, don't do this trade. Like, Durant's a this, he's a that, he sucks, he's coming off an injury. But at the end of the day, yeah, of course, he's awesome at basketball. But it's trying to separate those two things that it makes it hard for a lot of people.
I don't knock anybody who wants the Celtics to stand pat. Like, I think it's a totally reasonable approach to say, we like this team. They did amazing last year. They won 22 out of 25, made the finals, took a 2-1 lead. I think that's all legitimate. But there's two, I think, misnomers fans are falling into, which is one, that KD's done. I mean, this guy put up 37-6 last year, second team All-NBA, was on the verge of winning MVP before the injury, which was the same injury a guy like Chris Middleton got. This wasn't like the deterioration of Durant. It was just
No. It's a sprain. Yeah, so it's not a wear and tear. It's just
misnomer is that the Celtics are going to shoot back to the finals next year and be right back where they were. They had some issues in the playoffs. This offense has some issues. The Bucks are back, and the Bucks are better, and there's a whole lot of competition. Like, this Philly, figure it out. The East is going to be really good next year, and Miami, you know, came down to the last shot when Jimmy was, you know, trying to give John cheers after the game. That's a scary night. So you're not 12-0 back to the finals.
God, cheers me.
Cheers.
God, cheers me, bud.
I love this team. Nothing's getting.
I'm a hero for making it out of that show, by the way.
That show, by the way, one of my good friends, it's the first time he saw me on doing this, and he put it on his TV, and he showed his wife. His wife is like, do I hear John on the TV? And he's like, yeah, come check it out. And all he's seen is, hey, cheers me, John. That's the show he watched.
If people knew what I went through to get on that show, they'd be carrying me off the set. What a hero.
He texted me. He's like, I don't know the dynamic there. He's like, but it doesn't look like you really like that Jimmy guy. And I was like, no, I love Jimmy.
It's like, I don't think he's a bigger Jimmy fan.
I'm a huge Jimmy fan. Are you kidding?
Yeah. And that's why it works. He can hate me, but he actually likes me.
I mean, this is one thing's for certain. This has been great content through the summer. It's such a fascinating discussion. It really is. And who knows? Maybe the Celtics are just being completely used here as leverage, and the Nets are just throwing them out to the wolves every day in the media. But it doesn't feel like that's the case. Like, you have to consider this. Durant's that good. It'd be a bigger addition, I've said this a million times, than Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant right now is miles better as a player than Kevin Garnett was when he arrived here, and Garnett's arrival changed everything the instant it happened.
Let's chill out on the Miles thing.
Was Durant so where do you have Durant in the league right now? Like, number one, number two, top five?
I mean,
he definitely doesn't have
he's up in that range.
That's obvious. Would have to go through the list, but I mean, he's probably a top five in most people's, I would say, in most people's list.
Yeah. And again, yeah. I have some
the haters
pause
might
now.
Have him from 6 to 10 somewhere because of the whatever.
I have
reason.
Some pause now.
I'll put it this way: the year before Durant arrived in Minnesota, he had the same as good as
Garnett.
Garnett.
Yeah.
The 4 years that preceded his arrival to Boston were the 4 best years of his career. So he was literally playing at peak level when he got here. And his stats went down a little because he did the I'm going to share thing. He was peak Durant, a defensive player of the year. And the stats across the board were exactly what they always were.
He was at the top of his game.
He was close to the height of his power.
And he was the opposite of Durant when it came to loyalty. Are you kidding me? There's not a more loyal guy in the NBA than Kevin.
You're right, Jimmy. You make a great point because the off the court stuff means as much as the on the court stuff, and that's why I have some pause now. Like I've been reeled in on my excitement over this, but I don't. You still have to be interested if the price is right, and that original package, it's intriguing. And again, this is no disrespect to Brown. Everybody's saying, "Oh, Brown's been included in every trade package." He's been disrespected. He was in Davis. He was in Kawhi, and now he's in Durant. Three of the top, however many players ever. All those guys are top 75 all time. So he's not in every trade package that flows through the wind in Boston.
He's in rumors.
And I love Brown. I love Brown. He's been amazing here. He's probably, you know, we got this jersey hanging up here. Behind Horford, there's a seven, believe it or not.
Bobby, no. You can't. Bobby, okay, you're like, the beat reporter. You can't have favorite players anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, in terms of games, I like.
We have to pull Bobby aside at some point to have.
In terms of games, I like watch on the court.
Yeah.
You know the respect I have for their games, and I'm a big fan of Durant's game as well, even though it drives Nick crazy. But you know, I love these guys' games.
Right.
I love both.
We need Nick sign off before we can endorse this deal.
You're not
right?
getting that sign off. That sign off is not coming. I can tell you that.
Those spats would be epic. I mean, you'd have to keep, you know, the back and forth going there.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Where's this go? It's still going 5 weeks later.
The most amazing thing to me in all of it is that it's still going. That you, as we all concede, Kevin Durant is probably a top three player in the league currently, top five at the worst. For how much longer he stays there is debatable and part of the story. But the very fact that no player like this is made available for trade very often.
With four years on his deal, whatever that means.
4 years on the deal, and everyone's like, I don't know, I'm good. If you want him, that's fine. There's not a single team out there right now who I think is going to be mad if someone else goes out and overpays or gives him the bag, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to do that. That's the whole point, is if he ends up going for a package more than what the Celtics were initially willing to offer, they'd be like, oh, cool,
I don't think there's a lot of suitors.
Everybody's in that ballpark. I'll give this, but really no more, because any more than that is really going to mess up what we're trying to do here.
But he won't play for 29 other teams, John. Like, there's only so many options to begin with. Let's be real. Like, you know, if you're the no offense, Sherrod, but like if you're the Detroit Pistons, you probably don't have a great shot of landing Kevin. You have some great young pieces, but
I think you're in the mix. But they're not going to.
I'm not saying that they don't have what it takes. I'm just saying Kevin Durant doesn't want to play there.
Yeah, maybe not.
Why would they do that?
New Orleans seems to be creeping. Is that kind of team, the team that has the assets, but does he want to go there? Right.
Right, and I think that's ultimately what this is going to have to come down to. No team is going to trade for Kevin Durant unless they have some sense of whether he wants to be there right now. You mentioned Detroit, Jimmy. That's actually one of the teams that if you want to look at someone who maybe
– we knew this was coming.
That's not on the radar, it would be them when you look at their GM. Where did their GM come from? Oklahoma City.
Imagine if it's Detroit. I just threw a team out there and it happens to be them.
So again, there's a connection there, and that's I think ultimately what's going to ultimately get a deal done. There's going to have to be some low-key behind-the-scenes connection that goes beyond basketball, that goes beyond – you know, how stacked the team is, because the teams that are stacked, they're looking at Kevin Durant and they're looking at what Brooklyn is asking. And they're like, wait a minute, we're already like two wins away from winning the chip.
Right.
You want me to deconstruct all that we worked to build for the 33-year-old who's nice as hell? KD is still a killer in the game. But damn, you say we got a 2-year window or he's got what, 4 years left on his deal? But we don't have 4 years. Hell, we may not even have 4 months, depending on how things go at first and how he's feeling. That's why there's such a hesitancy for teams to get involved with this dude, because they don't know what they're getting involved with. Usually when a guy is this damn good, it's a no-brainer. You put chips all in, you make it happen. But with Kevin Durant, you can't do that because you literally have no idea who the hell you're dealing with today, who may very well be different than the cat that you're dealing with 2 weeks or 2 months from now.
And I don't think the Nets want to give into this, right? They're gonna battle here. Zai took his stand on Twitter. They're gonna try to make him come back to the camp. They're gonna try to make him play. Does this just become Simmons 2.0 Chipotle, like second straight year with this hanging over the league. And, you know, with CBA negotiations ahead in a year or so here, already kind of getting underway, like, how is the league going to address stuff like this? Because you're going to have two consecutive seasons. I know Simmons isn't a superstar, you know, someone that people are lining up to watch, but he's a star. And you know, then one of the stars of the league in Durant, effectively not on the court because of a trade demand and a team player battle and this pull and tug.
There's nothing
a guy
you can
with
do.
4 years. Guy with 4 years on his deal, a deal that hasn't even started yet, is asking out of it. I don't know what they can do, but it's going to be discussed for sure. Because this
there's
is
nothing,
crazy.
But there's.
Do you think Durant just realized that Brooklyn's organization just stinks? It's just like a bad place to play. Like nobody actually really cares about them. Like there's really
no I don't think
Brooklyn
that's it.
Nets fans, right? There's New Jersey Nets fans, but are there really Brooklyn Nets fans? I don't know.
There are not.
And I feel like Durant might be like, yeah, this was a whiff. You should have just
I saw someone bring up a really good point.
If you're not playing at MSG, if your home games aren't at MSG, you're non-existent in New York City as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I saw someone bring up a really good point. Damon Rangola, he tweets about the Lakers. He was talking about maybe like a mechanism through which players could request a trade. Teams would get a certain amount of compensation, and like maybe it'd be set out. You can effectively, like, you know, not make yourself a free agent, but ask out of your contract and be traded, and there'd have to be, like, a certain compensation that would be met. Because at this point, like, Jimmy, I think you mentioned it earlier, who can't ask out of the deal at this point? I mean, you had Kenyon Martin Jr., KJ Martin on the Rockets demanding a trade this year. Everyone's going to be asking for trades soon, no matter where they are or what team they're on or who they are.
I mean, so, it is what it is.
But you don't want these situations, John, with guys.
I know, but you can't really do much about it at this point. If the players are willing to hold out and not get paid, that's them. You know, that's the recourse is, okay, no, you can say no,
right,
or I can't trade you because I can't get value. And then it's back on them to show up or not. And if they don't show up, there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter what the job, you know, that's okay. We're not going to pay you then, you know.
I would recommend to Kenyon Martin Jr. to definitely show up. To work.
I guess you could void a contract. I mean, I don't know that you could do that. It's just never going to happen. So, I mean, it stinks. But really, at this point, that's the recourse is, you know, do what Ben said. I just, you know, fake an injury.
Sit out the year,
you know, or you wear a fat suit. I mean, I have no idea. Like,
fat suits all the time.
That is something that Harden and Durant hung out. And then I do want to bring this up.
Talking about Jaylen Brown, Jimmy did want me to trot these out. I'm just going to put them up there. You guys can tell, you know, do whatever you want. This is our latest Jaylen fashion shirt.
So this is Jaylen Brown. I think this is some sort of cover shoot or some shoot with Donda.
Yeezy Gap.
Yeah, Yeezy Gap. So again, there's not a lot of modeling opportunities here in Boston. I'll just say that I think New York's a big modeling city. I think LA might be. Don't let the Kanye West angle out on Jaylen.
Kanye will create opportunities regardless what city Jaylen is in.
Them is some pictures, man. Did you guys see Taco was actually making fun of him and Jaylen he reposted it because they're good friends, but it was like a picture of I don't even know, some night old sci-fi dude with the glasses on or something. But it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeezy does it, Jaylen. So that's all we got. He's got his cool shades. He's got his modeling ops.
Hey, that's cool, man. That's
cool shoes.
My prediction. I mean, what's your prediction? Does this happen or not?
I was gonna ask. What do you think is gonna happen, Sharon?
No, I don't think what's
gonna happen with Durant? Like, where is he gonna end up? Is he gonna be on the
Nets? Durant is gonna wind up back in Brooklyn until close to the trade deadline when teams get really desperate, including Brooklyn. I don't think anyone at this point is comfortable putting major assets on the table, but if let's say you're the Phoenix Suns and you get off to a not so great start and your team is, you know, maybe top four, top five, but you're not clear head and shoulders above the rest, you might be more open to pulling the trigger before the trade deadline than you are right now. If you talk some of the other teams you mentioned, the Pelicans, let's say they get off to a pretty good start, but not great, but really good for them. And they look like they're like one alpha away from just completely getting over the hump and maybe being able to get out of this first round of the playoffs. That might be a possibility because, again, they have a lot of assets that I think Brooklyn would certainly be interested in calling their own if you're going to give up Kevin Durant. So bottom line is this. I don't think it's going to happen until we get close to the trade deadline. I really don't, because I don't think until we get to that point, our team's going to have the kind of motivation to get it done. I just don't see that motivation at this point.
Yeah, I co-signed
Boston is hell? What the hell is that comment? Boston isn't hell.
Meaning he wouldn't like it here. Like if someone with thin skin, this is a factor we haven't talked with Durant. If someone with the thinnest skin on the planet
media environment
cannot play here.
Yeah. That's real, John. That's real talk. Facts, my dog.
Cannot
facts
play here. Dog. I agree with Sherrod in the predictions.
That's like Kyrie situation.
My dark horse is a team like New Orleans or someone we haven't considered here all of a sudden gets anxious, throws it out there, and Durant says, I'll do that rather than stick around. I like it, and goes. That's a possibility. I don't see a preferred destination trade happening because I just don't think any of those teams are going to blow things apart for Durant.
I'm going to say Miami just because Miami's always in the mix. Like,
they
don't,
if
I don't see their
it,
future. I don't see their future as like brighter as some of these other teams. Yeah, they'll have to pay for him for sure. But if Durant goes to Miami and he's playing alongside Jimmy Butler, you're going to tell me that that's not a championship contender?
Durant, Butler, Lowry, and then
like,
whatever.
Come on,
combine.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's like that. Almost reminds me of the LeBron Wade Bosh year trifecta kind of. You know, you got these three veterans who are well-established winners, and they just band together and they win a couple more. Like, I could see that happening before Boston. Because Miami, they're always in the mix. You know, you can never count them out. Like, Pat Riley he's a guy that's going to do, he's going to make a splash. He's not afraid to make a splash.
They've been dying to make a splash. I think it's New Orleans or Toronto, though. I think Siakam, Ingram, and picks gets it done. And the Pelicans have a lot of Lakers picks, which is underrated as well. So
yeah, I think it's a team that has a lot of picks. I think one of those teams is the one that can do it because they're not giving up as much.
Imagine the Pelicans, Zion, Durant, and CJ. That's a championship team.
Yep. Who knows? But anyway, this continues.
He has to believe that Zion wants to stay in New Orleans too.
This continues into the offseason. We're going to keep doing Garden Reports. We might try to do another one this week. And we're always around if there's breaking news. If anything does happen, just make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Turn your notifications on. We will go live right away. Another thing you can do is follow Celtic CL and us on Twitter or any of us here on our personal handles. And we will put out notifications when we are about to do another show. If you jumped in late on this live broadcast, you can obviously watch it back on our YouTube channels, or you can listen to the podcast when the audio is posted in a short while, wherever you listen to your podcast. Mm-hmm. One more shout out to our sponsor, Athletic Greens, terrific supplement for your health, for your mind, for your body, for gut health, probiotic health, all that great stuff, boosting your immune system, 75 vitamins and supplements all in one little scoop of powder. You pour into a water, bang it down at the beginning of the day, $3 a day for your own health. It's well worth the investment. Plus, if you go here to athleticgreens.com/garden, free 1-year supply of vitamin D and a 5 travel packs with your first purchase. And we will send you a Garden Report t-shirt. If you DM me at John_Zanis, your receipt, we will send you a Garden Report t-shirt. That's it, guys. Nice. Thanks for hanging. It was fun.
You guys.
You got Pat's post game tomorrow, John?
There'll be some Patriots stuff over on the Pats channel for the post game. Game one, things look messy, but again, it's so hard to figure out what's going on right now. It's the preseason, so still wouldn't put much stock in it, but we'll be overreacting over there on the Patriots channel if you want to jump in and check that out. I know a lot of you guys already subscribed, so we'll see you guys after the game over there. In the meantime, look for notifications if we pop back on here later in the week. Otherwise, peace out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.